Lord, help us to commence this morning with hymn 385. Hear, gracious God, a sinner's cry, for I have nowhere else to fly. My hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. 385. May the Lord help us to read two portions. Firstly, Matthew chapter 3, and then some verses from Acts chapter 8. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose hat fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, "I have need to be baptized of thee, but comest thou to me?" And Jesus answering said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, commencing at verse 26. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, and verse 26. "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Most holy and eternal Lord God, thou hast spared us to see the dawn of another Sabbath here upon this earth. And O Lord, as we gather on this thy holy day, we do pray for thy sweet and sacred presence to be known and to be sweetly felt. And O Lord, may thy house be to us the house of God and the gateway to heaven. May we be lifted above the things of time and of this world and see no man save Jesus only. We pray, dear Lord, thou wilt soften our hearts. We mourn because of our hardness and coldness and deadness. We pray that we might have a truly soft heart before thee, and that thou wilt breathe into our heart, Lord, a breath of real prayer. Those things we venture to ask of thee, that thou wilt grant them to us, that we may have that faith to believe thou wilt hear and wilt answer our poor petitions and groans and sighs. And O Lord, as we are favoured with thee, sunshine in the earth, we pray that we may know in our souls the sweet shining of the Sun of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Lord, thou knowest how we've each gathered this morning and said the motives that have brought us. The Lord only sees, but if he has taught us, our ends shall be these, to worship the Lord in praise and in prayer, to practice his word as well as to hear. O Lord, Lord, we do seek for thy Holy Spirit's divine aid, both in pulpit, in desk and in pew. We may know thy blessed guiding and directing and that help from above. For Lord, we are poor, weak sinners. We've nothing to merit esteem or give the Creator delight. Though we would be found as nothing before thee, that a precious Jesus may be the one thing that is needful. O Lord, may we be quickened by thy Spirit. We might be lively in the vital things of God. Oh, as we come before thee, we come, Lord, pleading and would ever plead that precious name of Jesus. May a name the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. And O Lord, we would come confessing our many, many sins. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, the inmost guilt in our hearts, the sin that plagues us. Lord, we pray that we may be ever as repenting sinners at thy dear feet. Oh, do grant to us that God-given repentance that needeth not to be repented of. Oh, may we ever be pleading and begging for mercy as we pleaded, Lord, in our opening hymn. Oh, may that be the sincere language of each of our souls. Oh, do grant to us the religion thou didst give to the dear publican, and that we may be ever begging and resting for mercy. O Lord, may we have a sweet taste of thy mercy in our souls today. And oh, that thou wouldst wash us in that precious blood of Jesus, that we may be cleansed from all sin, from all uncleanness. Oh, we would ever come as the dear hymn writer did, when he said, "Foul I to thee, fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die." Oh, how we need, Lord, that washing continually, and cleansing from all sin and from all uncleanness. We may be made white in the blood of the Lamb. O Lord, we pray for thee to come and be the master of assemblies this day. Oh, do come and meet the cases, Lord, of thy dear people. And knowest those, Lord, that are cast down and in a low place. Oh, we pray that thou wilt turn their sorrows into joy, and that thou wilt lift them out of the depths, that they might praise thy holy name. Lord, do come to those that walk in darksome paths, and the way seems mysterious. Oh, that thou wouldst turn that darkness, Lord, into light. And oh, do grant that light and liberty to thy people. Set those free that are bound, Lord, We're so often bound by sin and bound by Satan and bound by unbelief. Oh, that thou wouldst come and loose thy people and let them go. Oh, do free them from all the bondage of sin and Satan, Lord. May there be those set at liberty. They may be able to tell of the wonders thou alone hast done. Oh Lord, we pray for the dear children and the dear babes. Do remember them each, Lord. We pray that thou wilt work in them while in early days, if it be thy holy will. May there be found in their hearts some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel. And may they have an aching void in their early days which this world can never fill. For thou hast said it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. And O Lord, do preserve and keep them from all danger and harm. And help those, Lord, that are growing up in years in school and college and university. Lord, do help them and guide them and those in their work too. And may they commit their way to thee and cast all their cares upon thee. And we pray thou wilt raise up a seed to serve thee and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. Hear the prayers of dear parents for them. May they be guided and directed and kept by thee. And may they be brought to ask for the old paths and have the religion thou didst give to dear Ruth of old. And oh, may they cleave close, Lord, to thy people, thy house, thy ways, thy precious word, dear Lord, and above everything, cleave to thee. Grant God-fearing husbands, God-fearing wives to those that seek one. And may they see thy hand going before them. And we would pray, Lord, for those in affliction, in many laid aside, Lord, and thy people. We pray for that needed healing, if it's thy will, restoring mercies. And may these afflictions, Lord, all be sanctified, that out of the bitter afflictions there may come forth that which is sweet. May healing mercies be given. But Lord, we pray for those afflicted in their souls, that thou would heal the festering sores of sin and make them young again. O Lord, where affliction abounds, we do pray for grace to bear it. Lord, do grant strength to those that have none. Help to those that feel so helpless. Lord, we pray that thy presence may go with us each, and that thou wilt go before us, who make all the crooked things straight, Lord, for thy dear people, and the rough places plain. Do lead us into thy sufferings, thy death. And oh, may we have that faith to view, as dear Thomas did, those pierced hands and pierced side of the dear Redeemer. And dear Lord, do make thyself more and more precious to us, the one thing that is needful. And oh, do fill thy children with thy love, that they might run in thy way. May thy constraining love yet constrain others to venture where there's room, for thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. And oh, we beg of thee that thou wilt comfort those that are bereaved. Lord, do come and comfort thy dear servant in his great loss, the widow of thy servants, and thy families, Lord, and our own bereaved flock at home. And we pray that thou wilt comfort the widows and the fatherless and the widowers, and make up the breach, Lord. May these things be a solemn voice to us each. For thou hast said, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Oh, do prepare us for that great day, Lord. May we not be left lacking in anything that's vital when we come to die. But oh, may all our hope be in thee. May we be found upon that blessed rock, even Jesus, the sure foundation stone. Oh Lord, one said, and we pray that it may be each of our fervent prayer, "Ah, the refuge have I none, hangs my helpless soul on thee." Oh, that we might ever be hanging upon thee, dear Lord, cleaving to thee. Do bless this corner of thy vineyard, we pray. Thou would add to them in the church precious souls, if it would please thee. We would praise thee for all thou hast done. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless thy servants as they labour here. May thy word through them be made life and power to thy people. And oh, do remember our own flock and Zion at large. Help thy dear servant with our own flock today. May be granted that gracious liberty, the anointing of thy spirit. And may it be a time of sweet refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And O Lord, we pray for Zion still while life and breath remain. Oh, that thou wouldst send a season of gracious prosperity. There might be many, Lord, born again, a bringing back of prodigals, an awakening of the dead, and that there may be yet seen the wonders God alone can do. Help each of thy servants and grant them gracious liberty in the preaching of thy word, and may thy word have free course and be glorified. And dear Lord, do remember this guilty nation. What can we say? Lord, we have turned our back on thee. Lord, we have forgotten thee, as thou hast said in thy word, even this whole nation. Oh, do come and turn our leaders and rulers from the ways of sin and Satan to serve thee. May there be men of grace and heavenly wisdom raised up to rule our land, and that know what Israel ought to do. And oh, do overturn and overturn all the laws that are contrary to thy word. Preserve to us thy holy day and holy word, the privileges we are so favoured with. Remember all thy persecuted ones and those that suffer much, Lord, because of their stand for the truth. We pray for thee to appear. And oh, do in mercy, Lord, remember those that are in war-stricken lands and those displaced, and bless our Queen and the royal family with all the riches of thy grace. And may they be brought to set a right example in the land. Help us to praise thee for all thy great mercies. We would not let them lie, forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises done. Oh, help us to love and praise thee more. Give thee all the honour, all the glory. And Lord, do be with us now and anoint us to speak a few things in thy holy name. Grant us that voice to speak, the hearing ear to thy people. Bless the hymns that our dear friend gives out. And may they be made precious to thy people and to his own soul. Who make up in giving where we fail in asking. Help us to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. And oh, do apply thy word, we pray, with divine power. We ask it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 603, Faith, 'tis a grace divine, a gift both rich and free. 'Twas grace that made this blessing mine, from guilt to set me free. 603.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, and the 15th verse. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 3, and verse the 15th. Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfil all righteousness. Then he suffered him. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 3, and verse 15. Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfil all righteousness. Then he suffered him. One feels, beloved friends, the great need of the anointing of the Holy Spirit to venture to bring before you this sacred chapter. And especially the words we have named as a text. They have rested upon me much for the last 2 days. And we trust they are the message of heaven to some poor soul. Dear John the Baptist was wonderfully anointed by God to preach repentance to sinners and to be sent by God to prepare the way for the glorious coming of the dear Lord Jesus. And here we read in the early part of the chapter how he was wonderfully enabled to preach repentance. And one feels as we venture to begin this morning in these dark and solemn days, may the Lord pour upon us each personally that real God-given repentance that needeth not to be repented of. Or natural repentance, or the repentance of man in and of himself, needs to be repented of, because we're poor sinners, fallen in sin. But the repentance which is given by the Holy Ghost needeth not to be repented of, because it is God given and it's pure and it's real. And who is it that will be brought to truly repent? It is those that are convinced by the Holy Spirit of their sin. The only way we can ever feel and know our sin under the divine teaching of the Holy Spirit is we must have life in our souls. And that's why Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians, so pressed the point home and the need of it, the great need to be quickened by the Holy Spirit, made to live life within the soul. And if we've got life in our souls, we shall know what it is to feel the weight and the burden and the guilt of sin, as the Holy Spirit shows us what is within us. And oh, may the Lord grant one feels as we venture to bring it before you, the great need of it in one's own heart. What did the Saviour say? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And what does real repentance really mean in its simplicity? Well, two vital things, really. First, it means truly feeling and confessing and mourning and weeping over our sin. Like David, when the Lord sent Nathan to him and said, "Thou art the man." Oh, how the Lord brought dear David to truly confess that sin and to weep and to mourn and to grieve over it before the God of heaven. Oh, may we ever be as penitent sinners before him. We sung in our opening hymn, it seemed very confirming to me that did, because that is the plea of a real repenting sinner, pleading for mercy. You think how the dear publican had to weep and grieve and mourn before the God of heaven and plead for mercy, didn't he? And poor soul, that'll be your petition. Not only in the early days of seeking real things, God be merciful to me, a sinner, but it'll be your petition right down to your dying bed. I may have mentioned it before, but my wife's dear uncle at Tenterden, the late Mr. Albert Tanton, he was 16 when George Rose baptized him. When he came before the church, he said, told them all his wretchedness and sin and what his longing and pleadings were. And he said, "My prayer is continually, God be merciful to me, a sinner." And you know, when the dear man was over 86, so he'd been a member there for 70 years, he said just before his end, he said, "You know, my prayer is just the same as when I began the journey. God be merciful to me, a sinner." It was so real, you see. It was the sincere longing of his heart that God would have mercy on him. And he will have mercy upon repenting sinners. Oh, he will. What is so wonderful about this is this. He gives the sinner life. It's his gift. He gives them that God-given repentance. And he gives them mercy. As we sung, "Mercy through blood I make my plea. Oh God, be merciful to me." And you want to feel it, don't you? You see, when the Lord gave it to the publican, he knew what it was to truly feel that mercy and to taste that mercy. It's like Mr. Burnham said in the 12th hymn, "It's mercy that is transportingly sweet." And it is sweet to sinners. So John was the blessed forerunner of the dear Redeemer. But just to come to the second part of this God-given repentance, it means a real turning away from sin. Not only confessing it, weeping over it, but forsaking that sin. Turning away from it completely. as grace is given. And this is what the Lord enabled David to do. He enabled the publican to do. And every true born child of God will be brought there. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. The late Henry Popham, that was pastor at Eastbourne, whenever he preached on repentance, he always turned back to the congregation. He said, this is what the Lord would do. He'd turn the sinner right round. You think of Saul of Tarsus. There he was in his unregenerate days, an enemy of the Lord Jesus, an enemy of the Church of God, hated real things, and yet had got ever so much natural religion. And what did the Lord do? He turned the dear man right round, didn't he? Brought him to mourn over all that he'd been before a holy God and all the sin he'd been in, than the sin of natural religion. And he brought him to that beautiful place where he had to weep before the Lord and mourn and cry out, didn't he? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? No longer I'm going to do this and that. It's what was the Lord's will that he should do. And this is where the repenting sinner will be brought. Desiring only to do the Lord's will, his bidding. So John wonderfully goes before the dear Redeemer and preaches repentance to sinners. But oh, the warning to the Pharisees and Sadducees here, you know, it really searched me when I read through the chapter last evening, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism. He said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You see, they had only come to criticize, to pull to pieces the vital things of God, to do what they could to try and overthrow God's work. But think of the question, and this is what searched me. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Do you know what it is for the Lord to warn us to flee from the wrath to come? Because he will. He did Saul of Tarsus. I believe he'll do that with every child of God. Bring them to flee the wrath to come. He'll show them the solemn issue, what it'll be if they live in sin and die in sin, or live in just a natural religion and are lacking in that which is vital from the Holy Ghost. The wrath of a holy God. Think of it, for a solemn eternity. Not to endure it just for a day, but for an endless eternity. May that word search each of us. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Well, the Lord will with every one of his dear children. Oh, he will. He'll give them this solemn warning. If ye continue in sin, how will be your portion? Think how solemn. But I want to come down to this glorious day. It was in the earth, wasn't it? The day when Christ came from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. You immediately see the unworthiness felt and known by dear John. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? You know, the Lord will teach us each, if we're his children, not only his servants, but every one of his dear children, he'll teach them how unworthy they are. You think of Jacob. Boy, I love that word, what he recorded many years before this. He says, I am not worthy of the least of the Lord's mercy or of his truth. That was the language of dear old Jacob, and I hope that's the sincere language of my poor heart. You know, if the Lord favour you in any measure, in your poor soul, you'll feel so unworthy. It's like the hymn writer said, unworthy dwelling, glorious guest, favour astonishing divine. You know, if the Lord favour you, it may be, even in the small things of providence sometimes, you'll feel so unworthy. And here John was taught how unworthy he was to begin to entertain the thought of baptizing his dear Redeemer, the Lord Jesus. And I don't know why I've got to bring this, but there may be one here, you feel so unworthy. But where is your worthiness? It's not in yourself, is it? It's in the dear Redeemer. All in him. If the Lord speak to you, or favour you with his mercy, or favour you with tokens of his love, visits from himself, you'll feel so unworthy. It won't lift the sinner up, you see. I've seen religious professors where they profess to be blessed by the Lord and they're full of pride concerning him. The Lord will never work like that. If he favours you, poor soul, with favours divine, those real spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus, if I know anything about it at all, either humble you and melt you in the dust, or it will. Well, let me use a simple illustration. You think of Legion, the Mad Gadarene. When the Lord Jesus had cast the devils out of him, where did he bring him? He brought him to sit at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. The dear man was so humbled, you see. What does the wise man say in the Proverbs? Before honour is humility. If the Lord's going to honour his dear children, he'll humble them. And he did the dear Legion. He cast the devils out and he so humbled the dear man that he sat at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. He wasn't lifted up with pride, was he? When I speak about pride, we need much grace to name it, but you see, may we be saved ever from natural pride, but far greater so from spiritual pride. The hymn writer said, spiritual pride can soon creep in and turn even God's grace to sin. Humility, you see. Oh, we sing in one of our hymns, don't we? It's a good prayer, you know, really. Give humility and love. When the Lord looked at Peter after he had denied his blessed master, what did Peter do? He went out and he wept bitterly. And the Lord humbled dear Peter. under his mighty hand, and well could he write in his epistle, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. So as Jesus comes to Jordan to be baptized of John, oh, the humility there was in dear John, unworthy he felt to entertain such a great honor. And our text is the answer to it. Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now. It's a wonderful word, and it was really sweet to me last night. Suffer it to be so now. May that be, and I draw a bow at a venture to name it, to some poor soul graciously exercised today. I think of some years ago, of one that was really wonderfully exercised, given by God, to follow their dear master. And this dear lady went to the house of God, Lord, what have I got to do in this? And the dear servant of God preached from this word, suffer it to be so now. They're not my words. They're the words of Jesus himself. Suffer it to be so now. There are the times where the Lord will bring to fruition his purposes, the exercises of his dear people, and he'll tell them it's now, not later. And I don't know what one may be in today, but you know, the Lord knows, and the Lord knows why he's given me this word. Suffer it to be so now. Let me give you two illustrations of this. Not on the step of baptism, but where what seemed to so rest upon me was now, you see. Not delay. The Satan will do all he can to delay the child of God. He'll put everything in the way. And when I say, I'll give you two simple illustrations, I mean on this word now particularly, the time, you see. The time had come for the dear Redeemer to set this beautiful example before his dear people. And I felt when it came last evening with such sweetness, I thought, you know, there's no time like now when the Lord blesses his dear children. It's now. It's like, before I name the two things, it comes to me about Abraham's servant when he went to seek a wife for Isaac. You remember when he got to the house and told them his errand, and they wanted Rebekah to tarry, didn't they? 10 days at least. You could naturally understand why. But, you see, the time had come, it got to be now, she got to go. And what did the servant say? Hinder me not. It's a beautiful word. Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. The dear man was full, he got the answer of this prayer before God had been brought to fruition. And the commission was not by Abraham, but by God to take her back to Isaac. And what did Rebekah, what did they say? We will inquire at Rebekah at her hand. And what did she say to the answer to the question they gave her? The question was this: wilt thou go with this man? Suffer it to be so now. Wilt thou go? And what did she say? I will go. And the hymn writer takes it up in a beautiful hymn, doesn't he? I will go, for all his paths are peace. Now, God's time, you see. There's no time like the Lord's time. That's the right time. But then, these two, just briefly, illustrations of this, of now. You remember when David had it in his heart to build the house of God, the temple of God. But the Lord told him he should not build it because he was a man of war and of blood, and that Solomon should build it. And what do we read in the book of the Chronicles? David gave Solomon the commission to build it under the commission of heaven. And the Lord enabled David to speak such a beautiful word to Solomon. And it was this: and now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build in the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee. And now, my son, you see, the time had come. God's time. And it was a clear commission. And it may be, and there's one here, you need that. And now, my son, or now, my daughter. The second now that I just briefly name was when the Apostle Paul was to leave the church at Ephesus. And the time had come, you see. It was God's time. It wasn't just Paul felt after those 3 years in ministering to him he should go further. No, the Lord had commissioned him and laid it in his heart. He got to go up to Jerusalem to behold the place where Christ should suffer, bleed and die. And what does he say to them at Ephesus? And now, brethren, the time had come, you see. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. And now, brethren, the time had come, you see. And when the time comes, the Lord will sweep away all that hinders. What we read in the case of the eunuch, didn't we? And they came to a certain water. We don't read that Philip preached baptism to him. He'd spoken to him so beautifully of what he'd been reading in the prophecy of Isaiah concerning the sufferings of Christ. And what did he do? He began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And they came to that certain water. God had provided it in the desert. And what did the eunuch say? See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And I'll think of the question that Philip put to him. This is the key, you see. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And out of a soft-hearted eunuch came that sweet answer, I believe. that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That was faith in him that said it. I believe. Without faith, poor soul, you can never believe, and nor can I. But what a sweet testimony, wasn't it? Wasn't a multitude of words, but the reality was in it. All the eunuch's hope was in a precious Jesus. He needed the dear Redeemer so much. Do you? Do I? Suffer it to be so now. And we think of the dear Redeemer going down into Jordan to be baptized of John. And it's been with me, and I just speak this because it's laid on me. Really, what he was wonderfully, and I don't wish to read any further into the Word of God than we are permitted, but it came to me so like this. What he was setting before his dear people, and he will set before you in some sacred measure. He got to go down into that water to be baptized of John. And I speak it with much reverence. And he was illustrating to John, and he has, and his Holy Spirit has left it on record here for our instruction. He got to go down into his agonies and sufferings and lay down his precious life and rise again on the resurrection morn. You know, when we're favoured to take those through the sacred waters, they're immersed in it. He knew what it was to be immersed in his sufferings, in his agonies. And here we see that wonderfully unfolding. But as in baptism, the soul arises in newness of life. And oh, Christ was to arise, you see, on that glorious resurrection morn. And you know, really, there's a wonderful dovetailing between his baptism and his sufferings and his agonies. But then you will say, and it's a wonderful thing really, to be immersed in Jordan's flood, the dear Redeemer was. Oh, one's great concern when this text came, that we might each know what it is to be immersed in his blessed everlasting love. You know what it is to taste. It's a wonderful thing to taste his love. But oh, to be immersed in it. My late dear grandfather was 82 when he was baptized. And the dear man was so immersed in the love of Christ, he was full. And those words of the dear hymn writer dropped in with such sweetness. And he had to venture through it. Dear Lord, the ardour of thy love reproves my cold delays, and now my willing footsteps run in thy delightful ways. And you know, the dear man couldn't go out of the house of God until he declared it. You see, when we're immersed in his love, we'll do anything. Well could Paul write to the church of old, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." You know, some of you know what it is in love to your dear ones. It may be husband, wife, or children, and or loved ones. You do anything for them, won't you? If you really love them. And think about it far greater so spiritually. If we really love the Lord, we'll do exactly what he tells us. Oh, we will. Suffer it to be so now. We read in that 110th Psalm, don't we? "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." And you look how willing the Saviour was to go down in Jordan to be baptised of John. But because of time, I haven't really got time to go further into it. There's two things that I really want to set before you. And we read this, "For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." This must be fulfilled, you see. And then we read, "He suffered him." Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. You know, this is a very wonderful word. What does it set before us? You see, as the Saviour came up out of that water, immediately, and this is the seal, the approval of God. You see, really the Holy Spirit wonderfully is involved in this. And so is God the Father. There was the precious Son of God coming up out of these waters. And what does descend from heaven? The Holy Spirit in the bodily form of a dove. And that is God's approval, you see. The smile of the Lord upon it all. And when we're favoured to take any through the waters, you know, I always look for that. I don't mean with the natural eye. I mean with the eye of faith. The approval of the Lord, you see. And this is what concerns me in my poor attempts to preach. Not just to preach to please the people or any man, but that we might preach the word of God and the approval of heaven be upon it. Not just man's approval, God's approval. This is the vital thing. And in any step, you dear young people, you look for the Lord's approval on it. His smile is so beautifully illustrated in the baptism of Christ. This is he setting the example to his dear people. He himself in Jordan's river was immersed beneath the flood, and the Holy Spirit descends in the bodily form of a dove, the seal of heaven. The hymn writer speaks of the love of God shed abroad in sinners' hearts, and what does he say? The mark of that celestial seal shall never be erased. But the second thing I just want to hint at before we leave it is this. Then there was the voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Sacred words, aren't they? This is my beloved Son. You know, there was one other occasion where God the Father spoke the same, and that was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He spoke from the excellent glory, those precious words, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." There are two things here, and I hadn't premeditated this or anything. The first is this. There may be one poor soul so burdened and exercised in this morning, and what you are longing for is the Lord to whisper this to you. May the Holy Spirit seal it. "This is my beloved Son." It may be a son or a daughter of the Lord here this morning. And the Lord says this. Really, what he was doing was claiming, and I speak with much reverence, he claims his dear children. There's a good prayer in our hymn, isn't there? "Come and claim us as thy portion, and let us lay claim to thee." And when the Lord claims his dear children, he'll say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Why is he well pleased? Because they are doing his will, obeying his command, doing exactly what he says. Going back to my late dear grandfather, when he came before the church, he gave that sweet testimony. And he said to the church, "If you don't feel that I'm a fit character or a right character, I quite understand. But," he said, "I'm here because the Lord has commanded me, constrained me, and I'm doing what he has told me." Oh, the humility and simplicity of it all was so sacred. But the second thing, and now must be done, what a wonderful word this would be for any church in receiving a character God had constrained, for the Lord to say to the members of that church, however exercised and burdened and troubled they may be, "This is my beloved Son," or "This is my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased." Well, I've just scratched around the surface of it this morning. May the Holy Spirit seal the text home to us. Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. The benefit is ours. The glory belongs to the Lord. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £735, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Timothy Rosier is expected to preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. Chapman next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1112. "Blessed are the humble souls that see their emptiness and poverty. Treasures of grace for them are given, and crowns of joy laid up in heaven." 1112.
Dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the void. Forgive now anything that's been amiss. Be with us now through the interval. Come up with us again this evening if it would please thee. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each now and forevermore.